Many churches, though, and lives are awash with unfulfilled visions. And we have to ask our question, or ask ourselves this one question: why? That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about protecting your vision. I want to talk to you about protecting the vision of this church, nurturing it, maintaining it, strengthening it, making sure as much as we can, doing our part, that it comes to pass. You see, God gives us visions, and you see them in the Bible. He gives us visions, but those visions are filtered through our own comprehension. Sometimes those visions are filtered through our own understanding, our own experiences, and so forth and so on. So visions can be a little bit sketchy. Visions, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. Visions can be a little blurred. Visions can be a hint, but not a completion of what God wants us to see and what he wants us to do. They're magnificent, they're glorious, they're absolutely necessary. But there are some things we need to understand about vision and the vision that you have for your life, the vision I have for my life, the vision we have for this church. There are certain things we have to make sure we understand in order that our testimony won't be, sure, we had a vision, but it was unfulfilled. Sure, we had a vision, we had a calling, but we never got there. You see, we don't want that. Amen? We want to see the complete fulfillment of whatever vision God has given us. Okay, I want to talk to you about that a little bit today. I want to talk to you about recasting our vision here in the church. And in the next few weeks, we'll be interrupted next week, but we'll be proceeding with this. I want to recast our vision. I want to precast some other visions. And I just want to give you some insight as to how we can strengthen and make our vision safe. Now, in order to get where we need to go, there are adjustments that we have to make and have made. And I'll be sharing that with you in the next few weeks to the month or so about some adjustments that we've made in order to secure and maintain and ensure the health of our vision. So we'll be getting to that a little bit later on. But the first thing I want to make sure that everybody in this room agrees and fundamentally agrees that we have to pursue certain things and agree with certain things before we can see our vision come to pass. So I want to, okay, praise God. There it is. Recasting our faith vision. Now I've got an asterisk after the word faith because listen, there's no such thing as a vision from God that does not involve faith. God never gives us a vision that depends upon us completely. It involves us, but it does not depend upon us completely. Now, faith is, read this together with me. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I believe that a church that's involved mostly in things that it can handle is a church that does not have a vision. In other words, the realm that we operate in should be mostly weighted in favor of what we can't yet see. Did you hear me? That's what the ancients were commended for. They weren't commended for things they could handle. They weren't commended for things they could understand. They weren't commended for things that they could take care of. They were commended for things they yet could not embrace. And the Bible says at the end of this chapter in Hebrews chapter 11 that many of them died without realizing what they'd lived their lives for. But they have realized it in faith. So we have faith. We don't have a vision in this church. We have a faith vision. You see, I have a vision. This is, let me go down here, our faith vision, to co-labor, let's read this together, to co-labor with Christ as he establishes a community of Christians who are devoted, a what? A community of Christians, the key word's community, amen? Community, koinonia, the Greek word koinonia, a fellowship, a communion, a people who are connected together. The Bible says one baptism, one Lord, one loaf, one faith, baptized together to build a house of prayer, a stronghold of God, and a church of his presence. Can I just tell you this morning as we begin 2012 that those three phrases mean something? Can I just tell you they mean everything to me? Because it's what I eat, sleep, drink, breathe. That's what I dream about. A community of devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Building a house of prayer, a stronghold of God, and a church of His presence. That's what I dream about. That's what my wife dreams about. That's what we're dedicated to. And let me tell you something. I have done many things in my life. I've been a pastor for 22 years, but I did other things before that. I was telling somebody the other day, nothing compares to the challenge of taking a church today in our self-centered culture, our independent culture, and herding a flock of sheep into a devoted community. Because every single pressure, every single available opportunity and prosperity, our element of prosperity, works against people becoming a community church. Everything works against it. Everything. Everything. We are so challenged. If there were ever an accurate description of the church in America, Revelation 3, the Laodicean church. We have all that we need. Move us. What can you do to... I got a thing in the mail. Now, I'm going to get on my soapbox. I got a thing in the mail the other day from a church, and it says, how would you like to jumpstart your 2012? You get that? Now, this is what it was. Here's what it was. You want to jumpstart 2012. First of all, we know you spent too much money on Christmas. So in order to jumpstart 2012, come to our church, and we're going to teach you about how to manage your money. Amen? The second thing is, we know that you spent too much money, so you're fighting. So we're going to have a marriage thing. Jumpstart 2012. What was another thing? Two other things. I had them all down the other day. Yeah, relationship with the Lord. Jumpstart your marriage. Exercise. We know you ate too much. Exercise. Had to go there. And I did. But listen to this. How about jumpstarting a relationship with the Lord? How about this? How about repenting of our selfish ways? How about falling in love with Jesus? Some all over again, others for the first time. Okay, a house of prayer. What does that mean? That means that this house will be known principally by its number one activity, seeking the Lord in prayer. That's what this house will be known by. Not by feeding the poor. Now, in December, we fed 125 to 150 of these road workers out here on the highway. Fed them a great meal, reached out to them, shared gospel tracts with them, took prayer requests from them. 125 of them. 125 came through here. Big guys eating. You wouldn't believe what they ate. Praise God. They scared me. You ever see that one of them commercials? I've never seen one about these zombie movies. I'm standing out there in the front, and these guys are walking up the hill. They're going, dum, dum, dum. You know, they got their hats on, and they're coming, man. I'm telling you, they could put it down. But Shorty and everybody who helped him did a great job. So we want to feed the poor. We want to feed people, not necessarily the poor. We want to feed. On Christmas Day, we fed 75-plus people at Better Way, Christmas dinner. Praise God. That's good. We gave presents. Many of you gave presents to their children while they're in this drug rehab program. Praise God for that. That's good stuff. Amen? But that's not what we should be known for. We should be known first and foremost as a house of prayer, because Jesus echoed this prophecy when he said in Matthew 21:13, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. And all he was saying, let me just interpret that verse for you. All he was saying was, the church should be a house of prayer and you do everything but pray. God help us. I challenge you to go to the websites of the five biggest churches in Coweta County. You will not find one single scheduled corporate prayer meeting. But you'll find weight loss classes. You'll find Christian basketball. You'll find how to do this and how to do that. All good things. But if we have a church that the majority of what we do is measured by things that benefit us, God help us. God help us. That realm of faith. The reason why prayer is such a difficult activity for any church is it involves the unseen and the unknown. Faith involves the realm of what we've not yet comprehended. And faith is the thing that pleases God more than anything. I want to be a God pleaser. That's why I want to build a house of prayer. That doesn't mean, by the way, we pray 24 hours, 7 days a week. It means that we pray more than we do anything else. Amen? Now, what's the benefit of it? These I will bring to my what? Holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Two of the biggest criticisms and indictments against the church today is the lack of joy, not too much dancing going on, and the lack of holiness. You show me a church that prays, I'll show you a church that has a higher degree of holiness and joy. Joy, praise God. Hey, I really like worshiping the Lord. I mean, praise God. I thank God for it. Now, the next thing is the stronghold of God. We're co-laboring with Jesus Christ to build a house of prayer, a stronghold of God. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means that the Bible is the final word. Did you hear me? It's the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. And they haven't. We don't live in a world, though we live in the world, we don't fight like the world, right? Weapons of our warfare, strong. What do? We demolish strongholds. What are strongholds? You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is the politician that stands up for the sake of not embarrassing or the self-esteem of the mother, we encourage her to kill her baby. For the sake of her economic convenience, we encourage her to kill her baby. How many of you are familiar with Tim Tebow? He'll be playing this afternoon. Do you know his mother was encouraged to abort him? Yeah. Yeah. The doctors in the Philippines said, you need to take this baby's life. But she didn't. How many of you know Mildred Jefferson? Who knows Mildred Jefferson? Anybody? You know who she is. She's the first African-American woman to graduate from Harvard Medical School. I've met her. I've talked to her. She was born on a kitchen table in her apartment. Her mother was encouraged to abort her. And she said no. She said no. You ever wonder why we don't have a cure for cancer yet? Maybe it's because we've killed that one person that God wanted to raise up. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's for the sake of convenience or we killed that baby. Church of his presence. Now here it is. There it is. In him the whole building is joined together and rises up to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling. Where? That God lives by his Spirit. He dwells us individually, but we've lost sight of the fact that God dwells within a church corporately. Christopher came up here and shared something that the Lord showed him. Dawn shared something that the Lord showed her. People have new songs. And you know what happens? Whoops. There it is. Here it is. Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. This is what really it's all about. If an unbeliever or someone who does not understand. Now, if you look in the scriptures and read that, this is what it says. I'm not trying to offend anybody. It says, but if an unbeliever or an idiot comes in. The Greek word is idiotic. One who comes in while everybody's prophesying, he will be convinced that he is a sinner, will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. This is it, folks. This is it. You go to church and you hear the choir sing and you hear the preacher preach, there is absolutely no reason for you to believe God is in that meeting. And no one can claim to you or me that God is in that meeting. The only way we know God is in that meeting is if it's a prophetic move of his Holy Spirit. A new song, a prophetic utterance, a word, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a miracle, a tongue, an interpretation. That's the Bible's evidence from the very first church service in Acts chapter 2. The very first church service. This is how we know that God is here. By a move of his Spirit. I wish it were. I would rather it be not that to be the case. I'd rather that not be the case. Because my flesh would much rather accommodate other things. Every Sunday I stand up here waiting for God to move. And in some cases I do something that opposes that move. Hopefully more often than not, I don't. But my heart is to see him move, to hear his voice. Praise God. These kids that we're going to be hosting this weekend, we want them to understand that the most important thing that can happen during a church service is God shows up. Not a visitor shows up. God shows up. There are 100 churches that are worried to death about a visitor showing up. God bless them. I'm worried about God showing up. I want God in this place. I want the Holy Spirit to move. I want to hear something from heaven. Gino preached it during his thing. What we're talking about here is heaven coming to earth, the church of his presence. Now, visions are dynamic. You need to understand this. Visions are dynamic. They rise and fall. Everybody has to have a vision. I'm all for visions. But I also know what was clear can become fuzzy. Did you hear me? That's what the thing looks like with me looking at it without my glasses. Praise God. And I know it doesn't even look that good. Where our vision of Jesus was once clear, Colossians chapter 3, keep our minds up there, where he's seated at the right hand of the Father, our gaze is sometimes drawn back to earth. That's the cry of many people today in our economy. Oh God, I ask for nothing, just guide me again to my prosperity. God help us. That's the cry of many people, many people. But their eyes are down rather than up. The Bible says, look to the hills from where your salvation comes. Look to heaven, Colossians. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on heaven, the next verse says. Visions are affected, or vision is affected by all kinds of circumstances. Just having a vision is not the end all. Having a vision that we have, I should say, has to be protected. Now, Jeremiah was not unique to anybody in this room. How many of you are reading through the Bible in the... I don't even ask you. Okay, pray. I know a number of you are. I encourage you to do that. Even if you're not started, don't worry about catching up. Just start wherever you can start. Start reading through the Bible. Praise God. And go to armiesofdisciples.org. And then go there and go to get the chart on your computer. Armies of... And just start reading. You know, we hadn't got to Jeremiah yet, by the way. That's down the road a piece. Jeremiah is a long book. It's not the book that has the most chapters in the Bible, but it is the longest book in the Bible. My gosh, it's long. Praise God. I remember I've been reading through the Bible before, and I said, am I ever going to get through Jeremiah? Praise God. Praise God. But listen to what it says here. It says, today I've made you a fortified, what? City. Now, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and its people of the land. Can you imagine how pumped up Jeremiah must have felt? The Lord is speaking to him. He's given him a vision of being a mouthpiece for God to all the nations. Because he just doesn't cover Israel. He covers everybody. And then you turn to Jeremiah 20. Curse the day I was born. That's what he tells the Lord. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Curse the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. What happened to his vision? Circumstances, rejection, offenses, needs, whatever. We all have a vision for a house of prayer, a stronghold of God, a church of his presence. For God moving mightily in our midst. Offenses come. Circumstances come. Lack comes. Misunderstandings. Whatever. And then Jeremiah. Moses raised up his arm and struck that rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out. Community and the livestock drank. Everybody was happy. But God wasn't happy. Because at that moment, the hero of all Israel, who'd led them out of the Pharaoh's captivity into the wilderness so they could worship God, who gave them a wonderful promise and brought the very presence of God back into their midst, was not going to view the promised land, was not going into the promised land. His vision was impacted by circumstances. What about Saul? You know, Saul was promised a kingdom. Saul could have kept the kingdom. Saul could have kept the kingdom. King Saul could have kept it. But he disobeyed the Lord. The Lord said, kill all them Amalekites. The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sack. He didn't keep it for himself. Do the thing up there. Your screensaver just went on. Oh, there it is. Praise God. He didn't keep them for his wrath. Saul didn't keep the good stuff for himself. He had it sacrificed. But Samuel came up to him and said, this is what he said. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey the Lord is better than sacrifice. What does this teach us? What does this teach us about our vision? Visions have to be nurtured. Visions have to be protected. Visions have to be protected from us. Amen? You know, we really had a great time on Christmas Day. I love coming over here. I'm bored to death normally on Christmas Day. We come over here, you know, and we cook these. Already cooked the turkeys. We debone them and we get them all together. And I love cooking those big trays of rolls and biscuits and getting them all ready and everything. I just love doing stuff like that. I'd rather do like stuff like that than come and pray for 2 hours. I really would. I'd rather do that than pray. But I'd rather obey than sacrifice. You see? See, what Saul did, he did what appealed to him and what he could understand and what he could comprehend. He did what he wanted to do. Sure, it was a sacrifice. It was a God thing. It really was a God thing. I mean, a good thing, excuse me. It really was a good thing, what he did. It's how the Israelites were taught to honor God. But it wasn't a God thing. It wasn't a God thing. We want to do God things. Amen? I don't want to make that Christmas dinner on Christmas Day something, a good thing we should do, and it is a God thing, but it cannot be raised above what God's called us to do. It can't take the place of what God's called us to do. Our vision will only be realized through our devotion to biblical values. Today we're talking about vision and values. Give me a vision, but more importantly, give me some values. Because the values will keep me safe. The values will always bring me back. The values, I can mess up as much as I want, but the values will always recenter me. Every time Israel wandered, their antidote was always seek the Lord again. Everybody loves to quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people are called by my name. In the same paragraph, we ought to read the whole thing. The Lord talks about, and when we haven't done that, if you'll seek me again. Well, that's the whole, if you'll seek me, if my people. That's the answer to them not prospering in the Lord, is seeking the Lord. Our priority, these are values. These are values. See, because we're going somewhere in 2012. I don't want to go there without everybody's agreement on our values. Because you'll just be mad at me. You'll just be mad and aggravated and irritated at me. Because I'm just sounding like a broken record. I'm like the prophet Isaiah. They say, tell us something we didn't already know. Stop treating us like children. Same thing, Paul. They said, Paul on Mars Hill. They said, you seed picker, you hick. We're philosophers. We're Greek philosophers. Tell us something really exciting. Tell us something really stimulating. No, Paul just said, I'm sorry, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He died. He was raised. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. You need to believe on him and be saved. Sorry. That's just the way, that's as good as Paul got right there. So, our priority is to love the Lord and our neighbor. Can I just tell you something? This is just the truth. I want us to agree that our whole world should revolve around God. Our whole world. Not a little bit of our world. What's left over of our world. I'll never make an apology for telling you and I that make God the center of our lives. That means as we dream about the future, we think about our children, we think about where we're, it's always focused on God's plan for us. If something's interfering with God, get rid of what's interfering. Don't get rid of God. Don't make an apology. What it means, love the Lord your God with all your heart, means that everything we do, say, think, believe, plan, do, is centered on our obedience to the Lord. You know, people make fun of this bracelet, this hat people wear. What would Jesus do? That's the best hat that's ever been made. Because our ultimate inquiry should always be, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? So we make that our priority, loving the Lord. Our primary activity, I've already talked about it, is seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord in prayer and worship. Seeking the Lord. Seeking his face. seeking His presence. We want this place to be, we want to constantly be overweight. Amen? Let me explain myself. The word glory in Scripture means weight. To give glory to God means you have the weightiness of God in your midst. We want when Solomon dedicated his temple, he brought in the priest, and they were all ready to minister to the Lord, and guess what happened? They couldn't do it. They were pressed to the floor because of the glory of God. In other words, the temple was overweight. It was fat with the presence of God. So we want this place to be, it's a good to be fat with the presence of the Lord. No diets. We don't want to put the church on a presence diet. We wanted the church to be gorged on the presence of God. Amen. Seek the Lord. Our practical expression is to serve the Lord. That's why we fed Better Way. That's why we fed those road workers. That's why we reach out in various means. We're going to serve the Lord. Whatsoever you've done for the least of these, my brothers, you have done unto me, Jesus. We want to serve the Lord. And our prophetic calling is to speak for the Lord. Speak for the Lord. That means literally that we have a culture in this church, and we value it so much that we believe everybody can hear from God. Everybody can minister in some way. They don't have to be up here in front of everybody, but everybody is being motivated by the moving of the Holy Spirit throughout their members. And it's not something that we say, well, that's good for so-and-so. No, Lord, I want you to flow through me. That's how He flows in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14. Our values are established by gates, and this is important. I wanted to talk to you today about what we do and why we do it. We're building gates. Psalm 24 says that we should open wide the gates, right, that the King of glory may come in. How many of you want the glory of the Lord to flow through this church? I want the glory of the Lord to flow through this church. So what I want to see is us establish gates by which the Lord flows into our community and into our church. That's why we spend time getting ready for our deliverance seminar, because deliverance is one of the gates. There are many gates, but that's one of the gates. Jesus says that a sign of the kingdom would that people would be casting out demons. Well, we educate people about the reality of demonic activity. It's funny how people love to talk about angels, but they're scared to death to talk about demons. Can I tell you that the demons are just as active as the angels are? And sometimes even more active, because we allow them to be. Praise God. So our values are established by the gates. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord is this guy. Mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. This is our vision. Our vision is sustained by our values, and our vision is to see the glory of the Lord flow through our lives, through our church, through our families. These are important things. When we sat down and started this church, we didn't just say, well, what can we come up with that the church down the street's not doing? Let's try to do what they're doing, but just do it better. No. We tried to find what the will of God was, and I'm telling you, Jesus Christ said to Peter, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven, you are a rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're building a gate of the Lord, that the gates of hell. Do you know the gates of hell are prevailing against a lot of folks? That's because they don't know about deliverance. They don't know about signs, miracles, wonders. They don't know about prophetic culture. They don't know about the goodness of God expressed in so many ways. Powered by prophetic worship, our furnace of prophetic worship and intercession. This is important. Everything we do here, you know, I look back over the year and I see things that I did were wrong, things that I did were right, things that I did were kind of in between, whatever. Things that I did I can't figure out yet. I look back over the year, but I have this sense of calm about me. And this is where it comes from. It comes from I know everything good we can expect, we can hope, we can dream, or we've already experienced will come from our devotion to seeking the Lord. And I tell you, if my kids were to come to me as these children are sitting right here and they say, Daddy, what can we do to make sure that we're still in church and our kids are in church and if Jesus doesn't come back, their kids are still in church serving the Lord. You know what the one thing I would tell them? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Never stop seeking the Lord. And the Bible teaches us how to seek Him in prayer and in worship, powered by a furnace of prophetic worship and intercession. These gates are open, but once they're open, they have to be maintained. They have to be fixed. They have to be adjusted. They have to be addressed. But the key is that furnace of prayer and worship. That's why we emphasize it. Now, I want to mention something to you about our worship. Our worship team really took a blow this last week. Deborah left the church, Deborah Moore, and she's not mad at us, but her and her husband, her husband and her were not in agreement about where they should go to church, and she's going to where her husband wants her to go to church, okay? Now, my faith picture is they're going to come around and come back, amen? I just believe that. I believe that, praise God. I've seen it happen many times, by the way, but no condemnation on Deborah, praise God. She's a great lady, but at the same time, Rock Like, in his schedule at work and so forth and so on, he's going to be less available. So our worship team's taken a hit. But you know what that is? That's an opportunity to see God move. Amen? It's just an opportunity for more to come forth. You know, if you think that bothers you, think about this. Every week I watch my daughter go to another church. Every week. Every week, almost. And she's booked all the way through October of next year. The Lord gave me a vision of taking Catherine's clothes, folding them up, and putting them on the altar in 2008. But you know what I know? You know what I really know? I know that give and it shall be given unto thee. Press down, good measure, press down, shaken, overflowing, press together. So when I see shortages, all that is to me is a sign of coming surplus. If those shortages are in the proper context before the Lord. Praise God. You want to protect yourself against chronic shortage? Become a chronic giver. Amen. Chronic means it never stops. All of us go through seasons of Paul says, I've learned the secret of contentment, whether I'm abounding or abasing. Sometimes he's living in the governor's palace with servants. And sometimes he's in the dungeon with chains, you see. But Paul understood the secret is obedience. Praise God. So our worship's going to be fine. Praise God. I was rejoicing you playing the keys up there today, Megan. I remember when Megan wouldn't even reach the keyboard. Praise God. We have a great heritage here. And we're starting to see fruit. I look back and see hope. I see Jonathan Black and Amber Black. I remember Amber. Amber met my daughter at Atlanta Christian College. Amber was going to a good seeker-sensitive Baptist church, right? She got filled with the Spirit, and bam! I remember when Nick was this little guy at high school. It was kind of a smart aleck a little bit, yeah. Come on, man. Now he's one of our youth leaders. And they'll never be the same. They'll never go back. I'm not worried about them. I guarantee you 20 years from now, they're not going to be sitting in some dead church down the road and making sure they have time to ride their motorcycles on the weekend and go to NASCAR and do all that other stuff and check in with the church for an hour-long service. Come on. Because they will never, ever tolerate a church that does not have the presence of God. The fire of His presence, the convicting presence of the Holy Spirit. Come on! I'm getting excited. Hallelujah. I look around here and I see we got a great heritage. Kids are growing up. Some of them are leaving, but they're leaving to minister. Some of them are leaving because they just never got it, but they'll get it eventually. Praise God. Don't ever judge anything by a year or so. They've got it planted in them. But this is what we believe. We believe we're a house of prayer, a stronghold of God, and a church of His presence. We believe in loving the Lord, seeking the Lord, serving the Lord, and speaking for the Lord. And that's what it's all about, really. Now, there are other things. As God expands our vision, we'll build other gates, no question about it. There's gates we need to work on. The next time I speak to you about this, not next week, I'm going to talk to you about some of the holes in our net, some of the adjustments we're making, some of the failures that we've been responsible for, what our repentance is, and so forth and so on. But the bottom line is, God is still on the throne. Amen. And we're moving on. Amen. Amen? Okay, would you stand, please? Jonathan, do you have that song, the Come Down album, up there with you? I need number 5. Oh, yes, sit down. Thank you. Man, you almost got out of here. Thank you, Jesus. It's gone. My money's gone. The Lord took my money. He translated it. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, ushers, get ready. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we're going to stand in the gap for people who, for whatever reason, are falling short in their devotion. Lord, we do not condemn them. We praise God that you have given us an opportunity to pray for them. We pray, Lord God, as we bring forth this offering, you will stand in the gap. We will stand in the gap and see you move mightily in their behalf. We ask you to forgive us, and we repent and renounce the sin of selfishness, unbelief, and disobedience. And we pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you will break forth in a mighty move of your Holy Spirit and bring all of us, all of us, into a greater level, Lord God, of obedience in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Please come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Don't play that yet. We're going to start it in just a minute. Thank you, brother. Number 5. Oh, wrong way. Now, I'm going to pray over the meal. We're going to have a meal together. Before we do that, though, I'm going to ask you to do one more prophetic act. This is our first official service of 2012. And what I'd like to do is invite everybody before, at 12:30, food gate is opening. You know, we want to open those gates. Get those gates of glory. So we're gonna open. But I'm going to pray over our meal. I want to encourage you to stay. I know the Falcons play at 1. I've got it on DVR. If anybody needs to see it after the meal, just come over to my house. Praise God. Don't tell me the score. Don't you dare. Huh? We have prophetic teams up here after the service. They'll be stationed on either side of the auditorium to minister to people if you want somebody to wait on you and give you a prophetic word, if the Lord would do that. But would you stand now? Now we'll get back to business. As we begin 2012, I mentioned that Sharon and I have been ministering for 22 years full-time. As we've been doing this long enough where we circulate within the community. We go to Walmart. We go to restaurants. We go back and forth. And we see people, I know you do the same thing, we see people that aren't connected to the church anymore. We see people that used to be red hot for God, but they're just kind of punching their ticket right now. We see people that are, we know that they're spirit-filled and they're going to churches that would not allow a prophetic word if their life depended on it. That's not because they're bad people. That's just what they believe. But we know people who have checked out for whatever reason. And their horizon in the Lord has been dropped so low, like that picture of that guy we said. They just want to hang in there. They just want to make it. They just want to hold on. And what I want to do is this is song number 5 off of Catherine's new CD. And the name of the song is All Over Again. And it was written in her prayer closet. And this song is about people coming back to the Lord all over again, falling in love with Jesus all over again. God told the church in Ephesus, chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, he says, go, return to your first love. Do the things you did at first. You know, the things we did at first were really the best things, because that's when the fire of God was really burning. And this is what we're going to do here. Before we go and eat, I'm going to pray over the food, but he's going to play that song, and I'm going to invite you to come up here on behalf of somebody or some people, maybe more than one, and just spend the time, a few moments at the altar before the Lord, and confess and repent on their behalf and believe God and declare prophetically that they're going to come back to the Lord. Amen? Now, and it may be just for you. It may be that you just need for you to come up here and say, Lord, my heart is to fall in love with Jesus all over again. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. We should be rededicating our lives much more than what we really do. So we're going to start that song in just a moment. Let me pray over the food. Those doors are going to open up around 12:30. You can go right through them. I want to just say this real quick. We need help when we have these share dishes. We need help from people who eat, not our visitors. Our visitors, please, you enjoy yourselves. We want you to have a great meal on us today. But our regular members, we need your help in cleaning up so the same people just don't do it every time. Amen? So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to wash a pan. Amen? You don't need any experience. Just get out there and empty a trash can. Praise God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you for this meeting today. Lord, seal our values to our hearts and allow us, Lord God, to rise above our circumstances. Not by our strength, Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. The wings of the Spirit let us rise above, Lord God, and be people of light, people who shine forth in this dark, dark world we live in. Lord, we know a gross darkness has covered the land, and we pray, Lord God, for the light of Christ to shine through us. We pray that you'll bless this food to our bodies and our fellowship time together today, Lord God. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us, Lord God, every one of us, to fall in love with you all over again. In Jesus' name. Would you start that song, Jonathan? Praise God. Father, if it be your will, remember the Falcons today in Jesus' name. Come on. As the Lord leads you, just come up and spend a few times at the altar on behalf of somebody to fall in love all over again. Thank you, Jesus.